You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Look at the clock. It's at 9:05. Thank you, Don. Ken Connors, Jimmy G, and Master Control, and another edition of our Saturday morning staple, the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey from Renovco is here across from me to answer your calls. 514-790-0800. Walter, we'll start on the sad note, and you knew the man as well, had a working relationship with him. Dave Fisher, who hosted the show for many, many years, passed away suddenly, and I'm sure you were, like everyone else, surprised to hear this.
I was surprised and shocked indeed. I met Dave about 22, 23 years ago. Mm. And I did my first radio show ever with him.
Is that right?
That's right. And it was in Fort. I remember it was in the old station. And, you know, it's your first time, young chap, getting into the studio. And I remember I just met Dave, and he was so calm, so cool, so collected, so soothing, and like a big fatherly figure sitting
yeah.
there
yeah.
Across the table, that I felt like I was not really on the radio. It was just, you know, very
very relaxed,
very chill and relaxed. And he had that soothing voice that everybody loved. I mean, he was just the kind of guy that you just love to hug. I don't know why. Not, you know, he had that aura about him.
Yeah.
He always was looking forward for his retirement. That's for sure. As long as I knew him, he was a great guy. Always knew something about something. Like, you know, you open any subject and he will.
He could handle it, eh? Yeah, anything.
He could handle anything.
Anything you threw at him.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Like in his retirement party, someone was saying he knows anything from cocktails to cocking, you know. So, yeah. You know, that kind of a guy, and it's such a loss.
A spokesperson for Renovco for many years as well.
He was, right? Yeah. He was indeed. And, you know, I have to say, we were actually honored to have him as the spokesperson, because he's very ethical, by the book kind of a person, and he chooses what to endorse, and that was very big for him.
Yeah.
So that, for me, was an honor to have him.
A stamp of approval almost for me.
100%. And to have him as our spokesman for all this time, for 20 some odd years, was just amazing.
I know you were extending your condolences to Artie as well.
I send my deepest condolences to Artie, whom I've met on several occasions and who I've really loved and appreciated even before I met, because they've always, you know, thought very dearly of her.
Oh, sure, absolutely. She yeah. must be obeyed. And he always,
as
Trudy
she
always mentioned,
who must be obeyed. That's correct.
Trudy mentioned yesterday, he always said it, though, in such a way that it was with a certain amount of affection as well, you know, not just taking orders. But, you know,
it was. Yeah. And you know, when he had this marching orders, and he'd call me and goes, you know, Artie wants this and Artie wants that around the house. And, you know, and I know that he got his marching orders, and he will be kindly missed.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that, Walter. 908, we're going to go to the phone here, 514-790-0800. We're going to start with Janet in NDG. Hi, Janet.
Yes, hi. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
You want to talk about some tiles for your bathroom?
Yes, I need advice. A lot of the advice on the internet talks about design and stuff like that. That's easy, but I need advice on the durability of tiles, for instance, and where to buy them. So when I go to the hardware store, I see some tiles that look pretty decent to me. And then when I go to the specialty ceramic store, I see some beautiful tile there too. Is there a difference between, and actually I'm looking for classic, just basic. So is there a difference between buying tile, is the quality of the tile at the hardware store worse or equivalent to the tile at the specialty ceramic stores?
Okay, it's a great question, and we get often asked that. The good news for you is that 80% of the stability of the tile will have to do a lot with the installation of the tile and the preparation of the tile. So that is just as a footnote on the side that you kind of... Now, the other question that I would have for you is, where are you installing these tiles? Are you installing them inside a shower, in a kitchen, in a traffic area, in a building entrance that is going to have 100 people coming in and out of it every day? Are we going to have any load or weight bearing, like a kitchen island on top? So there's a lot of other questions that we have to ask before I give you a definite answer.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, let's just deal with the walls. So I need, you're right. I need bathroom walls, bathroom floor, and kitchen walls around the backsplash, and potentially kitchen floor. No island, but there will be IKEA cabinet, base cabinets sitting on them.
Okay, so let's start with the walls. The walls do not need to be... You don't need any thickness as far as PSI and pounds exerted to the tile itself, because there's not really a lot of weight on that. So the thickness of the tile or the rigidity of the tile is secondary in a case like this.
All right.
What you need mostly to concentrate off and on is the membraning of the wall, as well as the grouting and so on and so forth, so just to ensure there's no water infiltration. Okay,
yes.
So that's number one. Any tile where you're going to install on the floor, you know, there are cheap tiles out there that we do not approve of. I like the porcelain quality of tiles simply because it's made to be more solid. So I stay away from the ceramic, quote unquote, you know, because if you chip a ceramic, it's terracotta inside. You see the you know, the color, whereas the porcelain is the same color throughout.
Yes.
Now, wherever I'm going to have any type of weight, like kitchen, if you have a granite countertop, if you have fridges, stoves, obviously that also plays a role. So, you know, you would need a better quality a tile just to take the pressure of that weight. You know, you're not going to get a 50-cent tile and put, you know, a 500-pound fridge on top of it, right?
Thank you.
Okay. So this is how to kind of simplify it. You know, and again, the installation, the preparation, what do you do underneath it? You know, I've seen, you know, beautiful tiles, expensive tiles, and, you know, we get called and we go there and, you know, people are wondering why they cracked. Well, you know what, you take out the tile and then realize, you know, they did not double or screw in or reinforce the structure. They did not put any detail membrane underneath. I did not do any back dipping when they installed their tile. So that plays, you could have the best tile on the planet. If you have a bad installer, you're in a whole world of trouble.
Thank you very much. And my final question is,
mm-hmm.
for a bathroom wall, I've seen at a Home Depot, they have a lovely classic marble
mm-hmm.
look,
mm-hmm.
and the glaze is flush with the ceramic underneath. Is there a difference between a glaze that is flush with the ceramic underneath or glaze that covers the rounded edge? Durability?
Not really. Not really. It's just a design preference. There's nothing that, you know, no.
Excellent. How wonderful. Thank you again. Really
you.
Comprehensive information.
Send us those pictures when the job's done.
and from a listener's point of view, I also miss Dave.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Janet.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
Okay.
913, if you want to call and grab that line, 514-790-0800. Can I ask you something? Because I know a friend of a friend who's going through a bit of a remodeling job at home, at their home. And how important is it? I don't want to reveal any names here. How important is it to sort of consider what's behind a wall before you knock it down?
Extremely important. Because
surprise, surprise, what's back there, right?
That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, we've seen cases where people would have water damages just because there's a big pipe and they just put a sledgehammer through the wall and then that, you know.
Or wiring,
old wiring, cut wiring. We see that a lot. So that's why I'm saying is when you do a demolition, always be prudent. It's not about putting a sledgehammer through anything. It's you know, really taking the time to open the wall. And, you know, as you see things exposed and you don't have to worry, you could go quicker and rougher if you wish. But the first hammer strike should be the most gentle one of them all.
Yeah?
100%.
The first hammer?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
That's right. The first hammer strike should be the one that is the most gentle.
Tentative.
That's correct.
Because you never know. Yeah. Is there a way to find out what's behind there before you start knocking it down?
I mean, there is a logic things of like, okay, if you have a shower, you know, wherever you have the faucet, that's where you're gonna have the plumbing. But then, you know, you see a lot in the older homes, a lot of surprises that you don't understand what this pipe is doing there. And,
yeah.
you know.
Doesn't make sense.
You know, or electrical that was not that was done on the surface rather than deep down in the 2x4 structure. So okay. You just don't know what, especially in an older structure. Like a newer one, there's more uniformity and standardization, unless you had a bad contractor that built it, which we also see. You know, it's the older structure that really worry me, and structures with DIY, where people just do something on a Friday afternoon, and you know, you inherited that type of a job.
Walter Assey from Renovco here to give you your the advice you need for your home renovation project. Call now at 514-790-0800.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Welcome back. Walter Assey from Renovco answering your calls and handing out the free advice for the full hour. I'm Ken Connors. Jimmy G is in master control handling the phones. Joanne, Stephanie, Enrico, hang on. We're going to get to you. Diane's been waiting to talk to you, Walter. Diane, are you still there?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You want to talk to Walter? You have a question about a ramp that is detached. Is that it?
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
I live in a condo building with six units, and the second floor balcony, when you go down the stairs to the landing, the ramp has become detached from the landing, and I don't know who to call to have it repaired.
Is that like a wooden ramp, a metal ramp?
No, it's a metal ramp, aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it screwed to the floor or to the wall?
It's screwed to the landing.
To the landing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So,
and the landing is in concrete, I presume?
No, the landing is fiberglass. I guess it would be wood and fiberglass covered.
Okay, that's an exterior landing or
in... Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I get it. Okay. So any company that installs aluminum and fiberglass, they could just send you a service call technician, and they will reinstall it back in place.
Okay.
So if you would Google aluminum railing installers or fiberglass installers for the exterior, they have the tools. I mean, any handyman could really do it. But if there's something that went loose in the station, even if you would know who installed it initially and you would call them back, that will also be a good start.
I tried that, and they're so busy building houses that they don't have time.
That's often the problem. Mm-hmm. Any handyman, really, it's not a difficult,
not a
complicated
job.
Mm. You just, you know, someone local, if you can, you know, find a handyman that is around the area, because I do get it, the bigger companies, you call them in for a screw and they tell you, you know what, really? So, I mean, it makes sense as far as, dollars and numbers. Nobody want to do a job like this, because no matter what they charge, you're not really making money.
Yes.
And start with a local handyman in the area and see if you can get someone through. If not, you might have to ask them to charge you a service call to make it worth their while to come over and do it.
Well, anything is worth it. You can't use these stairs because it's too dangerous.
Of course.
Yeah. Do you have a janitor in the building by any chance that takes care of maintenance?
No.
Okay. So that makes it a bit more complicated.
Diane, did you say you're out in Chambly?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you can find like a local guy out there who can, I don't know how successful you'll be at that, but search for a local guy, because it doesn't sound like it's a big job, according to Walter.
No, it's not a big job, really. It's just that nobody can stand on the stairs.
Yeah.
The person has to have some kind of insurance. We don't want them falling off a ladder.
Mm-hmm. You know what I often say is, if you have a bigger building next to you that have a janitor in it, you know, these guys are always looking for some type of jobs outside their units.
Yeah.
That would be also a great place to go. And usually the bigger the building, the more possibility you have that, you know, there's a janitor in there. So if you go in there and speak to someone, you might get lucky and get the guy just to bring his toolbox. And
they're all six unit condos on the street, so nobody has a janitor.
Maybe you have to wander outside your area there just to go to a bigger building, maybe.
See any handyman around working in your street and just ask them to come over. That's another way, you know, if you see a renovation truck and you tell, can you come over? And, you know, that's usually the best, most efficient, fastest way to get them to come. And it often also is the cheapest way, because you could just tip the guy something and he'll be more than happy.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that, Diane. I hope you find some help. All right. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello. Good morning.
Where are you calling from?
Côte de Neige.
Côte de Neige. Question about a skylight in an apartment building?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's two semi-detached buildings, and there's a skylight in between. And I've been living here for quite a few years, and so that skylight has always been completely open, which I was very grateful for, because I have a window in my bathroom, and I never would have to turn my light on during the day. And plus, I have fresh air coming through. There's no glass on the skylight. It's just, it's completely open. Now, last week, somebody went up on the roof and placed something there to block it. There's some kind of plank, piece of wood. I don't know exactly what it is. So what I'm suspecting is that the proprietor doesn't like the fact that the rain is going all the way down into the garage. It leads into the garage. So I'm thinking of speaking to the proprietor, not that he's all that cooperative about anything, but if I were to recommend a drain, for example, if they could install a drain in the garage, because, you know, the problem is probably that there's an accumulation of water, and unless you have some other recommendation that I could, you know, maybe suggest to him.
Okay. So, I mean, it is very uncommon to see this type of installation. You would have an open skylight inside a building. Usually there is some type of a dome, like a turbine to suck the air out from bathroom condensation around the building. I can kind of relate to what he's doing, because you don't want to invite the water in, especially
but, you know,
with a torrential...
This building was built, I believe, in the 40s, mm-hmm. in the 40s, and it's been like that since then. They've never done any. I mean, it's that's the original design.
Yes, I get it, because to be quite frank, even 20 years ago, I don't remember having downpours like we've been having in the last few years. Mm. So there is a global warming factor. Our temperature is changing. Things are shifting. So we have to modify with the times. And that's why the building code keeps on being upgraded. It's to kind of deal with what the weather is bringing us and how it's testing our properties. Having said that, even if you put a drain at the bottom, that's great. It works and what have you. Only problem is it's a question of maintenance and continuous maintenance. You need to clean the drain and so on and so forth. That is one possibility. It just you have to factor in the fact that we have to maintain the drain on a regular basis, because if it gets clogged, then you're going to have water backing up and so on and so forth.
You got to stay on top of it.
That's correct. Yeah. So the other idea is to install some type of a glass dome, which will still give you the light. And, make it a real skylight type of an installation, because as a landlord, he's going to need to place where the those bathroom condensation is going to be evacuated, or he have to install a fan in every bathroom, which is very cost prohibitive for him. Mm-hmm. So at one point, he's going to have to deal with finding a more longer-term solution. Right now, he just patched the problem. But that's going to cause them a whole bunch of issues, because all of that condensation is going to get trapped in that skylight, in that skylight shaft, and you're going to have mold growing in no time.
Stephanie, do you have another question for Walter?
No, that was really all.
Okay.
I'm very grateful for his service. Thank you so much.
Stephanie, sorry, just before I let you go, real quick. Just maybe have that conversation with the landlord to see what his plan is. Maybe this is just something that he did for now because he's having secondary issues. But just ask him that question. He might have a full blown out plan that he did not share with you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I highly doubt that. Actually, right. I really do.
Right. And I highly hope that he does because it's going to cost him a lot more money if he doesn't. Trust me,
Stephanie. We're up against the clock. Thank you. I hope that was some help for you, though.
Very much.
All right. Bye now. It's time for news, and we'll come back with more on the Home Improvement Show.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
9:37, second half of the Home Improvement Show with Ken and Walter Assey from Renovco. We're going right back to the phone. By the way, there's still a couple of lines open, 514-790-0800. Enrico, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, good morning. You're in the car. Drive safely.
Oh, don't worry. I'm on the speakerphone. It's all good.
All right. You want to talk to Walter about granite steps?
Yes, I do. I had granite steps installed about 2 years ago, and the steps are each a quarter inch, if not more, separated from each other. They had put some grouting in it, and the grouting seems to be cracking and coming out. And on some of them, they ended up putting cement as well. So I have to take out that type of grouting. And I'm asking, what should I put? Because I've been told put mortar, put cement, put muriatic sand. So I don't know which direction to go with. Mm.
Okay, so if you're going to stay away from mortar, because mortar is very soft, you don't want to do mortar anywhere where there's a floor.
Okay.
That's a common mistake. It's, you know, a lot of contractors like to use it because it's the cheapest and the easiest to apply, but it's actually the worst to put on a floor, and we see that often. The grout that they installed, do you know if it's like an epoxy grout or it's just a regular grout?
I think it's more like a ceramic grout because in some places, I don't know if they use different batches, but some places it's just come out very simple. It looked like sanded grout for the shower or outside.
Okay. Okay. So there are many types of mortar that you could use. I believe it's categorized by letters, letter O, letter F. There's many different lettering. I'll look it up. I don't remember it offhand. The ones that you would want to use is the stronger mortar that will hold. Or if you're going to go with grout, you want to go with an epoxy grout, which we usually use in showers. Because
okay.
that's made to take water and you know,
that's the one they use. I believe that's the one they use. And the gentleman that came to give me an estimate on it, he says that he would have to re-grind. He'd have to grind all the sections
mm-hmm.
where it is. And he said that for him, the best would be the polymeric sand that they put with the pave. And he doesn't recommend what a lot of people are recommending is silicone caulking, a special type of caulking.
Okay. I don't see how caulking will give you a good finish on a grouting, to be quite frank. The polymeric sand is one way to look at it. It's not usually what we would want to use for a granite type installation, but it, you know, it's easy to handle and take out and take in and add and so on and so forth. So maybe that's why he's recommending it. I will just do a little bit of research for you if you leave your email off air, and I'll send you if you were going to go with a mortar type, you know, or a cement type grouting, I'll send you which type to use in this particular case, or which grout to use. You know, okay. Polymeric sand is a solution, but I don't often see it from a design perspective installed on a granite step.
Hmm.
Okay, I understand. Okay.
So, Enrico, we're going to put you on hold, and Jimmy's going to take your email address down so Walter can send you the info.
Thank you very much, Walter, for your time, and I appreciate the advice.
My pleasure, sir.
I'm going to put you on hold right there. 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter from Renovco. Joanne's been waiting patiently. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Where are you? What part of town?
I'm calling from Chamonix.
Chamonix, and are you on the balcony right now?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
We have a deck which is around our pool, and it's 30 feet long. And the wood is cedar, which we put in a good, let's say, 10 to 15 years ago. Mm. And we were using the product Sickens, and it was Lucid. And then we switched to Seco, and we used a translucent, but both were oil-based. However, since last year, like we put a coat, and this year we did it again. We put two coats of the fecal. When it rains, I have to dry off my deck. Otherwise, it leaves like water stains all over my deck and like a dust on it. And I'm just wondering what could cause that and what can I do to get rid of it?
Hmm. That's interesting. When you applied the product on it, tell me the preparation that you did to your deck beforehand.
Well, we washed it down with deck cleaner.
Okay.
And then we did a light sanding.
Okay.
And then we applied the product.
Okay. Now, light sanding. Can you just a bit elaborate on that? When you say light sanding, what were you doing exactly?
Well, we put it on one of those pads and we just went across the whole deck because it didn't really need sanding.
Okay.
There was no stain coming up, so we just did it to be, I guess, preventive, so we wouldn't have that same problem. But again, yesterday I went outside, I dried it a little bit, took off all the excess water, and then we went to check it yesterday afternoon, and it's the same problem. I have to completely dry it.
Okay.
So that there's no stains or this fine dust on it.
Yeah. What we've seen in similar situations is that sometimes when you sporadically sand your deck, meaning there was no consistency in the way it was applied, and sometimes it's because it was applied on many days, that could happen, that, you know, areas where the spores have opened and you were great in absorbing the product, and others did not, and that's why you have those types of patches. The next time, so that's my quick answer to you in similar situations. I don't know if that applies to you in particular. I'm not sure if it's the product itself that is the problem, as much as potentially the way that you prepared the deck to receive, the product. That's where I can't really pronounce myself on that.
Okay, so what you're suggesting is that we resand it?
I'm suggesting is you resand it, but make sure you're sanding this. You're using the same grid throughout. Make sure that you really do a light sanding, because sometimes I've, you know, people do it because they heard it have to be done and they kind of fly through it, so they don't give the proper attention. Always remember, the pores needs to be open, or else it will not receive the product adequately. It will not absorb it and will not do the job that it's doing. And in certain cases, when you do it, you know, in a sporadic way, it actually give a worse, you know, result, at least visually, than you would hope for. So yes, 100%. The next time you do that, try to do that, and then you apply the product. The application of the product as well, that we have to have the right temperature, okay? And mm-hmm. every product and every brand have different instructions. So, you know, do it early in the morning. Do not do it when it's too hot, because that also could affect the product and the application, the evaporation of the product, and so on and so forth. I've seen people do it with, you know, direct sunlight at 12 noon in a 35-degree temperature.
Oh, no, we've applied it, Walter, at 6:30 in the morning. There was no sun. We work against the sun. So there was no sunlight at all when we apply it.
Beautiful time, as long as it's not too cold. So, you know, again, you have to have that good balance, and you have to make sure that you have enough sunlight, in the sense that if it's raining in 2 hours, again, you're going to have issues. So, you know, it's you have to have optimal conditions. But before that, optimal preparations, you know. And then I always say the brand is not really as important as the preparation.
There you go. Joanne, we have to run. I hope that was some help for you.
Yes, thank you very much. Have a nice day, both of you.
You too. Linda, we're coming to you on PR Phone in just a second.
Well,
this is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Oh, welcome back. Walter's ready to go here in the home stretch at 9:51. Linda's been waiting patiently. Denise, we're going to try to get to you. Linda, you're on Pierrefonds, right?
Yes, that's right.
Let's talk about those water stains. Where are they?
Good morning. Yeah. They're on a new walkway that we had done about a month ago, the day after the cement. It's a cement walkway. Mm. And the day after the cement was poured, it rained quite a bit. Now, it was covered, but there are some water stains on the cement, and we were told that these would fade away. So I'm wondering, is that the case?
How long has it been?
About a month.
About a month. Well, it needs 31 days for the concrete to cure, right? So what you see is what you get pretty much at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When it comes to concrete, there's many things that we look at. Number one, how was the mix done? Was it manually done? Did it come on a, from a pump? Was it made on many batches? Do you know all of these answers? Or
I'm going to say in one batch.
In one batch. Do you? Was there a pump that was used, or was it a concrete truck, or the guys were mixing?
Yeah, a concrete truck.
Concrete truck. And you were there, you watched them with one. It was one concrete truck that dumped the concrete, they finished it, and then it left, right?
Yes.
Okay. So was it, how long after did the rain start?
The next day.
Okay. So the next day, I don't think this is related to rain. The reason being, you know, within a few hours we could walk on concrete, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it you know, and believe it or not, it's always good to water concrete after it's poured for many days after in order to ensure that it bonds correctly.
Yes, we did that.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure it's because of the rain, especially it was covered.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the consistency of the concrete itself, sometimes it's the application. We've had cases by which the batch from the concrete truck was not a good truck, batch. It was, mm-hmm. There was too much water in it. And there is a fairly known concrete supplier that we get a lot of complaints about their cement batches. I'm not going to name any names, obviously. So there was issues with concrete because of the way it came from the concrete truck sometimes, okay?
Okay.
But I can't really tell you. I have to see if you can send me maybe by email a picture. I can look at it and I can tell you what potentially this is all about.
Okay.
Now, you're saying it's a water stain?
It looks like water stains.
Yeah, but do you really know if it was a water stain? Because how would the water stain look like, and what would you say it's a water stain?
Hmm.
Just the way it's flowing, I guess.
Yeah, just send me a picture.
Yeah.
What's the worst case scenario here? Is she going to be stuck with it?
Well, if it went deep, yes. If it's in the preparation, yes. This 30 days after, there's still a stain. I just want to make sure it is really a water stain, nothing that happened after the fact and, you know, somebody dropped something on it.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things. I just want to see the formation of the stain, mm-hmm. and the intensity of its color.
Mm-hmm.
And from that way, we can build on, you know, what could be done if there's something that could be done.
How can Linda get you the photo?
If you can send it to my email, maybe they can give it to you off air, and
okay.
I can definitely
sure.
look into that for you.
All right.
Okay.
Linda, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I have a quick question about parging.
Mm-hmm. Parging, yeah.
Because we also had a retaining wall redone.
Okay.
And the retaining wall is a little, is about 2 feet less than it was before against the wall. So you could see the parging is dirty where the old retaining wall was.
Yeah.
And it's broken up a little bit. Is this something that's easy to fix myself?
Are you a good parger? I mean, are you just looking to clean it or, you know, because parging is, if you have to be good with a spatula, that's what it really is. The preparation, the mix is not, there's nothing big to it. It's just, you know, you have to be good with your hands and if you're good in plastering, the chances are that you're very good in parging as well,
mm-hmm.
just because you have the right motion
okay.
of the spatula. So I mean, yeah. you could try it in an area where nobody sees kind of a thing and maybe
yeah.
at the neighbor's house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and see where that takes you.
Okay.
Linda.
All right. So regular cement then
for
the parging.
This is your cell number, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to text you Walter's email address.
Okay. Super. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And as part of just the previous caller, Enzo, I was going to maybe call him back, but I've looked at my notes. Mm-hmm. Mappy add Silex before is a good contact cement that he could use for the granite. That could be used for any size, and it's good for it great works well with the humidity as well. If he wants another brand, he can go with VersaBond as well. That's great for exterior applications. And if you just want to go with the grout, go with epoxy grout, like I said before. Mm-hmm. So if you want to just have the brands, Enzo, that will be what to look for and for your granite steps.
Hope you heard that, Enrico. Denise, good news, bad news. Good news is you're on the air. We only have about a minute and a half. You want to talk to Walter about what, exterior rubber treads on your balconies?
Yeah, I have a fiberglass balcony and stair treads.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know, how do I apply the rubber treads? You know, for security and mobility issues, we need to maintain our rubber treads on both the balcony and the stair treads. Would I go about it with some double-sided tape or some nails? Like, how would I do it on fiberglass?
Got about 90 seconds.
Okay, depending on which supplier you buy it from and what is the brand. Some come with its actual adhesives. Others, you have to do it yourself. But, you know, I can give you the rubber side, the double-sided tape I have not used before. It have to be an exterior double-sided tape if you going to use that.
Right.
I've seen some that you glue on as well with certain it glues on, it actually sticks into the surface, and then you just kind of put the rubber mat on top.
Could you recommend something, a product?
Not offhand. I could definitely give you do a bit of research on that and give you what my recommendations would be. And I've seen some, actually, believe it or not, that have not had any type of adhesives installed. Depends where you're installing them. So if you send me pictures, I can definitely tell you where to go and how to go about it.
Okay, that sounds great.
Denise,
so it can be done. Would you say just to stay away from the screws altogether?
Simply because I don't like anything destructive and permanent. Specifically, if you would have like a concrete type of an installation, what end up happening is you're going to drill holes in that concrete. It's going to freeze up. It's going to expand, and it's going to create two cracks and a much bigger problem that you have to deal with in a few years down the line.
Yeah, so it nothing, would affect the warranty,
yeah,
I'm sure.
That's correct. And fiberglass is actually worse because the heart of the fiberglass is made out of wood, and that would rot, and again, it's a slippery slope. So definitely no screws.
Okay,
Denise,
great.
I'm going to email you Walter's email address, all right?
Okay.
I'm going to text it to you, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh, we're up against the clock. Walter, thanks for a good hour.
Oh, my pleasure. Always my pleasure.
All right. Walter Ozzie from Inovco back next Saturday morning at 9 on the Home Improvement Show. Jimmy G, thank you so much. Don is standing by with an update from the newsroom, and then Lisa's ready to go with the car show here on CJAD 800.